They Were Afraid, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
For to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus, an empty tomb, is not good news, not for sinners, apart from his death for sinners.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon and an Ascension sermon for any size gift during the 50 days of Easter. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support during the Easter season.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday, May the 8th. There's a lot to say about the family. And in a way, we could have started with parents and come to children. We could have come and started with children and come to parents, because we're really talking about these paired vocations. Today, we take up the vocation of childhood in conclusion of our four-part series on family vocation. Joining us to talk about something we all are, every last one of us, is a child. We remain a child our whole lives. Dr. Gene Edward Veith, he's provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. And Deaconess Mary Murby is a diaconal writer for the Cranach Institute. Together, they have co-authored the book, Family Vocation. Dr. Veith, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be with you.
And Deaconess Murby, welcome to you as well.
Thank you for having us.
Mary, I think we usually consider childhood as a temporary affair. At least that's the way our culture encourages us to think of it. As a vocation, do we ever outgrow this childhood vocation?
We really don't. Of course, there are childish things that we outgrow. I mean, that's certainly a valid use of the language. But when you think about vocation originating in God, when you think about how Jesus is the Son of God from all eternity, then you see that being a child is not the same as being a little kid, that it's as much a status as a state of immaturity.
Yeah, and again, even when you're old, even when you're an adult, you still have parents. You're still the son or daughter of your parents, even after they have died, even when you are old and gray, and even after you've died, you still have that relationship to the parents. And throughout our lives, the commandment to honor your father and your mother, that's not just for young toddlers and for adolescents. That's for adults too, because being a child of your parents is something that that's permanent, that lasts.
Dr. Veith, Mary mentioned something just a moment ago, and that is that this is a vocation that the second person of the Trinity shares with every human being ever born from Adam and Eve, this vocation of childhood, and he shares it in a completely unique way. Talk about it.
Well, again, he's the Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, begotten of eternity. But then he became incarnate, and as the Athanasian Creed says, he became the Son of Man through the substance of his mother Mary. And so God the Son entered human life and he's both the Son of God and the Son of Man. And he's the only begotten Son of God, but for those of us who are in Christ through baptism, St. Paul talks about that we too have a sonship with God through adoption. And so through the gospel, through Christ, God adopts us into his family. And so we are also children of God, you know, by virtue of being in the Son of God through faith and by our baptism. And so that unique relationship God has with his Father, he gives to all of us Christians, so that he instructs us, you know, when we pray, to pray to God as our Father. And we have that same kind of access as his children that the Son of God himself has with him.
So if we get this one wrong, the vocation of child, Mary, Do we have the potential of really fundamentally misunderstanding what it means to be a child of God through Jesus Christ?
Well, understanding certainly has its place in how it affects our lives. But, you know, being a child, you don't necessarily understand everything. sometimes it's more a matter of who you are, you know, that you are baptized, that you are receiving God's gifts and His Word more than what you could write down in a 5-paragraph essay. I mean, when Jesus took a little child among them, He didn't say, look how well this child understands, but rather was pointing to how this child is a citizen in the kingdom of God. The child didn't even ask for it. The child doesn't know what to say or what to necessarily do, but he is receiving the gifts of the Father. And I think that grown-ups have a lot to learn and can really benefit from being more childlike and understanding, you know, that children are gifts and that every day we receive gifts.
Dr. Feith, that's a different way than many Christians understand childhood. They understand childhood primarily in terms of obedience rather than being on the receiving end of what the parents freely give in love.
Well, but again, a child from the youngest age growing up, and it is receiving. A young baby receives from the parents, and the baby isn't deserving all of it. The baby isn't earning what the parents do for them. It's because, you know, from the parents' point of view, this is my child. Of course I'm going to take care of my child. Of course I'm going to discipline my child and raise up the child how he should go. But from the child's point of view, it's all grace. It's all receiving. And really, our Christian life is the same way. We're receiving from our Heavenly Father constantly. We're beneficiaries of His grace. And He's working in our lives. We want to learn to obey Him. We want to become the kind of person He wants us to be. But still, our status is that, again, based on not what we do, but who we are. And as a baptized child of God, we have that right of sonship. We have the right of inheritance. And all of those things that go on in earthly families, again, it's because of just the office, the position that the person holds as son. It's very much an image of how God our Father relates to us as His children.
So, Mary, with a few minutes before we go to our break, what is a child called by God to be and to do?
Well, when you look at Luke 2, that's the passage where Jesus stayed at the temple when his parents didn't expect him to, didn't grant him permission to. At the very end of that, it's probably verse 52 or so, it says, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And also in that passage, it says that Jesus went home and was submissive to his earthly parents. And I think that really, in a nutshell, is what children are to do. They are to love and serve and grow into their vocations, you know, increasing in wisdom and in favor with God and man.
So I don't know that people regard growing, Dr. Veith, with about a minute here, I don't think people would regard growing as something that you're called to do as a child. They just say, well, that's just what is going to happen of biological necessity.
Well, it is, and there are a lot of things that happen by biological necessity that we're part of, and the child grows, again, in wisdom and such in so many ways, and growing is part of it, but putting away immaturity, becoming more and more mature, and again, that's what the Christian life is also described in those very same terms in Scripture. We're to grow spiritually. We're to mature in our faith, and again, that's the work of a lifetime. But all the things that happen in our lives contribute to that, just as all the things that happen in a child's life contribute to their growing into adulthood and into their own unique vocations.
So the vocation, what about it changes, what about it doesn't change over the course of one's life? With about a minute here, Dr. V.
Well, change is certainly part of childhood, and it's part of our lives. And our vocations change. I think childhood illustrates a lot about the other vocations, too. It isn't that if you have a vocation, then that's one kind of work that you stay with all of your life. No, in the family, as we grow up, and different things happen to us, and opportunities come our way, it is a matter of changing as God calls us to one task, one role, one office, and then another. And so childhood is a good emblem of that, but it's true really of all vocations. But the relationship with the parents, that's permanent, just like our relationship with God is permanent, God our Father. And so our status as children, as son or daughter of our parents and of our Heavenly Father, that's always there. And so we're always recipients of that love and care. We're to honor our father and mother at every stage of our lives, just as we honor God as we grow more and more in our faith. So I think the circumstances change, we grow and become different in so many ways. But again, the relationship and the office itself are permanent.
Now, Dr. Veith has mentioned there a moment ago the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. When we come back in our conversation and our conclusion of our four-part series on family vocation, talking today about the vocations in childhood, I want to know from Deaconess Mary Murby, what is, if we're talking about childhood as a vocation, as a Christian calling, which it certainly is, what is God calling the child to in that commandment, honor your father and mother? It's interesting, the 16th century reformer, Martin Luther, had a lot to say about that commandment. We'll find out more on the other side of the break. Our series on family vocations today, childhood, continues and concludes after this.
Hi, this is Jonathan Collin from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A comic strip author goes too far.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
While Gary Trudeau has ridiculed pro-life beliefs before, recent comic strips take it to a new level. One Doonesbury cartoon depicts a Texas state legislator asking a young girl if her parents know you're a slut, and then supposedly violating her with an ultrasound wand. A spokeswoman summarized the Texas governor's view on Trudeau's political commentary, saying, "The decision to end life is not funny. There is nothing comic about this tasteless interpretation of legislation we've passed in Texas to ensure that women have all the facts." Dozens of papers have refused to run the strip.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Tuesday, May the 8th. We're concluding our four-part series on family vocation with Dr. Jean Edward Veith and Deaconess Mary Murby. Today we're talking about the vocations in childhood. Mary, before the break, your dad mentioned several times the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. It's a commandment particular to children, and since we all share that vocation, it is general to all of us in the same way. In this commandment, honor your father and mother, to what is this, to what is every child being called?
Well, a whole lot. In Luther's Large Catechism, he talks about how honor is, in a sense, even more than love, that it also is a matter of modesty, humility, and a phrase that Luther uses is deference as to a majesty there hidden, so that sometimes we love each other in external ways. My husband takes out the trash, and I love that. Honoring your parents, however, is as much internal as external. A child isn't necessarily able to love in lots of external ways, and yet God is calling even a very small child to honor mother and father. Now, in the book, we talk about how honor is a form of gratitude. We also talk about how the honor is a term sort of for weightiness, that our parents have a weightiness in our lives.
I want you to pick up on that, if you would, Dr. Veith, because Luther, in his teaching on this, and he teaches extensively on this, will often say, and apply this commandment in times when it's most difficult in the eyes of the world for us to render obedience here, and that is when the parents are old or feeble or senile or in more in need of our care than we receive from them. All these difficult circumstances usually associated with parenthood in those latter years. Why does he focus so much on the difficult aspect of that commandment in the vocation of childhood?
Well, he's trying to get us to understand the office of parenthood. It doesn't just depend on how good the parents are or how smart they are, well-educated, or their parenting techniques. It's the office of parenting. And that office comes from God, and the parent is something of a representative of God. That statement in the Lord's Catechism that they should, Mary cited, a deference to a majesty there hidden. The idea that the majesty of God is hidden in parents, and that God brought us into existence. He created us by means of our father and our mother, and that God has raised us and cared for us through what our parents have done for us. And so, to honor father and mother, it talks about how in vocation, God is hidden in vocation. And there's no more dramatic way that God is hidden in vocation than in how God works through fathers and mothers. And so our respect for that office and our gratitude for our parents for doing all this, for acting in God's behalf for us, bringing us into physical life, causing us to be baptized, bringing us up in the church, giving us our daily bread. Again, God works through our fathers and mothers to give those benefits, and to scorn those or scorn the people that God uses in that way is a very great sin, and it's a failure of faith. because it's a statement of independence by people who properly need to understand their dependence on their parents, as, and through them, or dependence on God. And so people who violate that commandment and who, you know, mistreat their parents, or who scorn them when they get old, or Luther gives, you know, even back in Luther's time, kids could be embarrassed by their parents. You know, Luther said, even if you're, no matter how strange your parents act, you need to keep honoring them. That's part of being in a right relationship with our very existence and with God Himself.
As with other authorities, Mary, when parents act contrary to God's will and to their vocation there, the child is called to obey God rather than men. Talk about that circumstance, if you would.
Well, it's a very real situation that parents are all too willing to sacrifice their children, whether they don't spend enough time with them because they are too busy with work or with their social lives. Children are not called to be sacrificed. Yes, even children can have small sacrifices they make. They must learn to share their toys. Sometimes they have to learn discipline and do without things. We don't want to make it sound like the life of the child is an easy one. And really, even just that commandment we've been talking about, this is a divine command from God that it's impossible for any of us to ever rightly fulfill. And yet this is given even to infants. I mean, this is all people are to honor their mother and father.
And I guess that would mean, Dr. Veith, that, and this kind of goes back to a theme we've hit upon many times in our series, there is a humility to the good works that are done in vocation that we often don't recognize because we think of the big flashy stuff. Talk, if you would, about the good works that children are called to in this humble vocation.
Well, again, in Luther's Large Catechism, when he talks about this commandment, he talks about a little child who's doing his chores, honoring his parents, doing what they say, is doing a greater work than all the Carthusian monks who ever can live. He can say, I fulfilled this commandment in a way that all of the self-important, big, heroic spiritual disciplines that the Carthusians did. I mean, they were hermits. They did without. They mortified their flesh. They, you know, spent years in these elaborate mortifications. He says their good works are nothing compared to what a little child who does what his parents say can bring before God. And so, again, it's the little things. It's the everyday things. It's just growing up and living this life, what children do, you know, obeying their parents, loving and serving their parents, you know, just the little everyday things of life, picking up their room, cleaning up the toys, these things before God can be expressions of faith, fruits of the child's faith in doing what God has commanded, again, out of faith, out of love for their parents, out of honoring their parents. And again, those become, in God's eyes, precious, precious works that are far greater than a lot of the big spectacular things that a lot of Christians try to do, even when that means neglecting their children. They're doing all these great things to serve the Lord at the same time that their child needs them and they don't have time for them. They think they're doing something more important. Again, so often, the theology of the cross just sort of turns a lot of those things upside down.
Mary, does it go even further back to infancy, even to infancy in the womb, if life truly begins at conception as it does? Are we called from that moment, in some sense, to this vocation of childhood?
Yes, we are. If I can just quote a little bit of Psalm 139, "For you, O Lord, formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works,
My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. The days are formed for children, even when they're in the womb. And it's just so clear to me in this passage that God is at work through the mother, knitting the child together, that God is at work growing the life within, and that this is not simply a relationship between mother and child, but this is going to change the world. Every life changes the world because of God.
We'll pick up right there on the other side of the break. Speaking of children, let's roll it back, if we could, all the way to infancy. Now, we would probably, common sense would say, you can't talk about infants having any kind of Christian vocation, but the authors of this book, Family Vocation, Deaconess Mary Murby and Dr. Jean Edward Veith, they differ with that opinion. They say that infants do things. They do three things. They cry out, they receive, they respond. So on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about the call of childhood that applies even in infancy, even from, really, from conception. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to be studying a great and rather new Easter hymn with its author. The hymn is called All the Earth with Joy is Sounding. Pastor Stephen Starkey will be our guest. That's Wednesday on Issues Etc. We'll also remember Old Testament St. Job with Dr. Walter A. Meyer III of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Then Friday on the program, Pastor Will Whedon joins us, and we're going to be kicking off a series on the historic liturgy with him. I am greatly looking forward to that. A little bit later in the week, Dr. John Kleinig will join us. We'll talk about the applicability of Levitical Old Testament laws. We'll be right back with our conclusion of the series on family vocation with Dr. Jean Edward Veith and Deaconess Mary Murbin.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 27th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Dr. Jean Edward Veith and Deaconess Mary Murby are our guests. We're concluding our four-part series on family vocation today, talking about the vocations in childhood. So let's see if we can roll the clock back then. You write about infants, the very youngest of children, doing three things. You say they cry out, they receive, they respond. So talk about the call of childhood that applies even in infancy.
Well, the infant is loving and serving his parents, even when, you know, he's just crying and, you know, demanding attention, demanding to be fed. Because a child actually does good work for his parents. And sometimes parents kind of overlook that, but a child provokes love in the parents. Parents, typically, when a couple first marry, they're centered on each other and they're kind of self-centered. But when a child comes into their lives, all of a sudden they're having to change and they're reorienting themselves to the needs of that child. Now, that can be very painful and frustrating and hard, but it's good for the people. It's good for the mother and father, even spiritually, to start sacrificing themselves for someone else, for this weak, crying baby. And there's real growth, if we can, again, apply that to the parents, there's real spiritual and emotional and personal growth that can happen to a man and a woman in taking care of their child. And they find it, although, you know, again, very hard and sometimes frustrating, but there's a joy and a satisfaction with that. And so the child, the baby, even in crying and demanding attention, is actually doing something good for his mother and father as they learn to be parents and they, you know, grow into that role and as God works through them in this new way. So yeah, so I think a baby is benefiting his or her parents just by being a baby, and God is working through that baby for the good of the parents.
Mary, the two of you write, the goal of childhood is adulthood. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think as we alluded to earlier, vocation does have quite a bit of change into it. You can only do the things you have the opportunities to do. And as a child grows up, the opportunities grow. Your ways of serving others change. You might get married when you're at that stage. And when the Apostle Paul talks about believers as being infants and needing to grow on the spiritual milk and then to come to meat, you know, there is a maturity that comes. That maturity may look different in different people, but that's what we are referring to, that we grow and mature into expressing love.
Yeah, and I think there's another part of it, too. You look at what parents do for their children in helping them to grow, you know, teaching them to control themselves, teaching them to be potty trained, and teaching them how to be, you know, share and be polite and get on in society, and educating them, seeing that they get an education, taking them to church. But what all that amounts to, too, is preparing a child for vocation, equipping a child for when the time is right, for all the other vocations that God will present them with as they grow into adulthood. So education is obviously training them for, you know, even economic vocations, but also for being a citizen, you know, using good manners and so on, helping them grow up in the church, preparing them for life in the church. And even, I think, in the modeling of parenting and of how husbands and wives treat each other and how as parents they treat their children, that's preparing the child for their own vocations in the family when they are grown to the point that they can take up those callings. So I think a lot of what parents try to teach their children and how children are growing and being equipped is, again, so they're being prepared for their other vocations that God will call them to.
In conflict with that, especially in our generation, Dr. Veith, is this, and the culture encourages it, this extended adolescence. I was talking earlier today with someone, with a mother who was kind of bemoaning this with her own children, that the expectation used to be that even with the late teens, certainly with the early 20s, adulthood would be the goal, but not so much anymore. It's kind of stay a teenager as long as you can.
Well, that's right. And even people who are adult, even many who have, you know, families of their own, still act like children. They still have that self-centered, those same kind of immature demands and inability to take on responsibility. And again, that's a perpetual childhood, but it's also kind of, I think, a failure of childhood because they have not been taught how to grow. And the parents, you know, have not, you know, pulled them up into haven't finished their work, which is to form them into adults. And right, this is a very big cultural problem today.
Two quick final questions. Mary, what are some of the crosses particular to the vocation of childhood?
Well, you know, there are those passages in Scripture that talk about the sins of the grandparents upon the subsequent generations. And it's a very harsh reality that the problems and the sins that have affected prior generations take its toll. We can go on the internet and find testimonies of third and fourth generation atheists. I mean, children are not a blank slate for Christians to come and bring the word to. Sadly, even family can be sort of a cross to bear.
Dr. Veith, finally for you, and in conclusion to our series, what is the comfort that Scripture provides to us in this teaching of vocation, however it manifests itself, childhood, parenting, husband, wife? What is the comfort of Scripture in Christian vocation?
Well, the real comfort is God looms behind all of these callings, and God is acting through them. And although people, parents, children, husband, wife, sin in their vocation and sin against their children, that's when parents, instead of loving and serving their children, harm their children and corrupt their children. God is our true Heavenly Father. Christ is the true husband. The Son of God is the true child. And they work through us fallen human beings who sin so much in our callings. But again, it's God who's doing it. And so it isn't all up to us to be the perfect parent or to be the perfect spouse or the perfect child. Christ is at work. God is hidden in all of these callings. And the trick in living a more joyfully, more effectively in our calling, I think, is to grow in our faith in Him and to catch glimpses of Him as He's hidden in our just the ordinary parts of everyday lives. And when we can do that, we can see even just the mundane, everyday things we do with our family, with our children, and work, and everywhere else, really is charged with a meaning, and it becomes precious in a different way. And so that can be a great comfort. Again, it's God's initiative. It's God working through vocation. And even when we are not faithful, He is faithful, and He will do it.
Folks, you can purchase the new book. It's called Family Vocations, God's Calling in Marriage, Parenting, and Childhood by our guest Dr. Jean Edward Veith and Deaconess Mary Murby under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Jean Edward Veith is Provost and Professor of Literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. Dr. Veith, thank you for your time.
No, my pleasure.
Deaconess Mary Murby is a diaconal writer for the Chronic Institute and co-author of the book Family Vocations. Deaconess Murby, thanks to you as well.
Thank you very much.
Folks, if you've enjoyed our four-part series on family vocation, please help us equip the priesthood of all believers by making a special gift during the Easter season. There's still plenty of Easter season left. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc. Send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. You can also make a completely secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. Now, for any size gift before Pentecost Sunday, the end of the Easter season, May 27th, we will send you a recording of a sermon that I preached on the resurrection of Christ and another on the ascension of Christ. Please let us know if you want these sermons on a CD or as an MP3 download. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind during the Easter season. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll study the Easter hymn, All the Earth with Joy is Sounding, with the author of this hymn, Pastor Stephen Starkey. Also tomorrow, we will begin a series with Pastor Will Whedon on the historic liturgy. We are all called by God into these stations in life. Some of them are permanent, some of them change. But when we are mindful of the fact that it is God who calls us here, who puts us in this place and then provides us graciously with the tasks of our lives, the faith to live before Him, the love to serve our neighbor, it makes the Christian life much easier to understand and much less of a burden, knowing that all is covered in Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Is Christianity merely one limited, half-true perspective on God? Find out in an article I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled, The Blind Men and the Elephant, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Christian Teve's journey from the agnosticism of a committed Darwinist to faith in Jesus Christ. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.